This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Will we have a league MVP on the move? Holy cow, we made it to hour number two of the G-Bag Nation against all odds. You hear Chris Arnold over there riding shotgun.
Got you down.
The great Brian Broaddus has returned from his deathbed.
He's back.
He's back.
Lazarus is back.
We almost lost him, but he pulled out of it.
Wow.
It was a really bad tailspin, but you got enough of that Pedialyte and Tylenol?
Oh, jeez, yes.
Pedialyte.
Yes.
Got all squared away?
Got square. I'm good to go, Jeff. Thanks.
Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup, and it looks like everything broke or something, man. It looks like we've got an emergency tech squad on hand. It's going down in the Pimp Cup.
Yeah, I got a whole NASCAR crew behind me working on these computers, fam.
Yeah, amazing. It was real weird when they took the wheels off your little chair and replaced them, but I was like, yeah, I guess, if that's what they're there for.
I thought it was fun. I got to spin around on everything. It was amazing.
Aaron Rodgers is back in the news. Everybody is speculating that it's over with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I want to start with this because it was Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
It was Deshaun Watson. Am I missing anybody? Great quarterbacks that it was like, he won't play there anymore. He's about to get traded. And now it's Aaron Rodgers. The other two didn't end up moving. Just your gut right now. Will Aaron Rodgers play another snap for the Packers, Brian?
I'm going to say yes.
Ooh.
I'm going to say yes.
CA?
They say he's the one weird guy. Remember, he's the one to cut off his own family. He's the, you know.
Right. You think he won't cut off a team?
He cut
he
off
told
his, own
his brother and his mom and dad to go away.
No. Or his ear?
What? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's the and also I had heard from different people, it wasn't just the Jordan Love thing. It was beforehand they kept not re-signing his wide receivers and expecting him to carry him. And then they said that this season, remember last year, Choppy even said he's washed. Remember a year ago? He was terrible.
What's up with our station in the wash pit,
well,
by the way?
Well, hold on. Aaron Rodgers, there was a thing that happened now. You time out now.
I got a theory.
Sorry about that, Chris.
At the end of the McCarthy era, Aaron Rodgers was not playing at the level that he had played at the 4 or 5 years previous.
Oh, right. Okay.
Then with LaFleur, he kind of went back on the uptick, and now he's back.
Yes. Okay.
He's back.
I got a theory.
What's your theory? Well,
I think it's a new word everybody learned, and they started using it.
What is
it? They want to put it on somebody.
I love calling people wash.
All I know is in 2019,
it's a habit of our
station. They were
here.
Saying the guy was washed, and Choppy was leading the charge, and they said he was done. And they didn't have a good season. And guess what? They drafted Jordan Love, and then those that I've talked to said that's when Aaron Rodgers said, I'm going to show everybody that I am not washed, and then parlay that into getting out of there. In other words, he put that MVP season together, not just to prove that he wasn't washed and Jordan Love ain't where. He was like, no, I'm proving I don't need y'all. That any team in the league would want me.
Dude,
I'm not washed no more.
I would be so mad at him. I'd be like, wait, you mean you just tried your hardest again?
Yes.
You weren't trying
just
your
to
hardest
get away from
more.
Here. I wanted people to say, I want you and I will pay the price.
I do. We are going to go.
I don't know. I'm thinking he's gone.
Wow. We are going to go through some of the goofy things that apparently Aaron Rodgers is really mad about. And we'll hear from Terry Bradshaw, who you can call the great Terry Bradshaw or the most overrated quarterback of all time. It's up to you.
He's washed.
He is washed. Terry is totally washed. Ooh, but Brian, you're looking at me sideways.
Jeff, I was just thinking of something.
What?
With Fields being on the clock, I didn't get to ask you this. With Fields being on the clock at 10, would you have done that if Dak had not signed an extension?
If he had not signed an extension? Yeah. For sure. Yeah. 100%.
Okay.
This
is the first. I don't know why I didn't ask you that.
Okay, we'll get back to Aaron Rodgers in a second. I'll also tell you this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just was sitting there thinking about quarterbacks. I'm thinking, Jeff and his opinion on quarterbacks. Oh, he loves Fields.
I love Fields.
If Fields was on the clock when you were picking at 10.
With Dak under contract, no.
Right.
But I tell you what I would have done if I was the Cowboys.
If he'd had the extension.
As a business decision.
If I were the Cowboys, Micah Parsons would not be a Cowboy with the way this all played out.
Sure.
Because the way it played out, and I asked Stephen Jones, would it have been different if Philadelphia was coming up to pick a quarterback?
Oh, there's no way then and hockey he, sticks he would have done that.
No. He said he would have.
Really?
He said all we needed to know was side of the ball and that they weren't taking our guy. So they thought that they were taking Devontae Smith, and it went the way that they thought.
Well, but it was Waddle. And Howie said today, he goes, well, we were taking Smith. No, you were going for Waddle is who you were going for.
But Steven was going to let them come get their quarterback. And his answer was, well, one of them was going to get him anyway, which isn't necessarily true
quarterback.
Because New York bailed and Chicago was willing to come up to 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were they not willing to come to 10?
Oh, sure.
Like, take less. Make sure you don't let somebody get a quarterback, guys.
You could have gotten a first-round pick out of that, for sure.
So the Cowboys,
the quarterback tax?
Yes. When he
go 9 to 10 jump spots, mm-hmm. That's
when
what you do.
When he said that they didn't mind if it was a quarterback,
You know why he says that? He ain't getting fired.
That's true.
He is not getting fired, man. You could be
GM.
You could be cavalier all you want. There is no general manager that would give a division rival a quarterback
ever
if they knew they were going to get fired.
Ever.
All right, let's go back to Aaron Rodgers because I want to hear. Okay. I heard this morning that Terry Bradshaw wasn't happy.
You're calling him Wash too, right, Terry?
Terry's Wash.
He's Wash.
I mean,
he lives here. He might be listening.
He's sober, man. He's recovered now. Yeah, he's got his life together. He's not washed anymore.
Well, he's still washed. I mean, just in general.
It's a broadcaster guy.
His broadcaster.
Lucius, when did Washed come about? Because Jesse
Holly for a long time.
Because the first time I heard Jesse Holly say it was probably 18 months ago, and then I just started calling everybody Washed.
Yeah, I know.
And I really enjoy it.
It's all right. It's fun.
Is that appropriation?
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's all good.
All right. Should I apologize?
No, you just say washed up and then it's yours again.
Okay. He's washed up. He's washed up. Just take it back to long form.
Yeah, it's all you do.
Don't shorthand it.
Don't worry about
Here's Terry Bradshaw and Aaron Rodgers.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is.
Damn.
Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know what if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine. Then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset.
Okay. First, without knowing Aaron Rodgers at all, I'll dispel part of that. Like, there's no chance that Aaron Rodgers went, you picked Jordan Love, he might be better than me.
No, there's not.
There's no chance he's worried about that in any way, shape, or form.
No, he's not worried about Love at all.
He just looked at them and said, why aren't you helping us win the Super Bowl?
Thank you.
Like, that's what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Why are you doing? That dude's not touching the field. He's going to watch me play until I'm done playing.
Right. You wasted a first-round pick.
But Aaron Rodgers
traded up to get that pick, too.
And he should probably understand, because they did the same thing with him.
They sure did.
Hey, you're an old quarterback. Who knows how long this lasts? We're trying to get ready. Like, he should have understood. But to me, the most entertaining part so far is the newest development in the Aaron Rodgers hates Green Bay story is, according to Ian Rappaport, first, I need to get you familiar with a football player, okay? His name is Jake Kumerow.
Ohio State.
He played with Green Bay for a minute, and he had he played four games with the Packers in 2019.
Uh-huh.
Caught 12 passes, okay?
Oh, he's a receiver.
Yeah, he caught 12 passes in 2019. Then they released him, and he went to the Bills practice squad, and then he got active for 6 weeks, and he caught one pass.
Yeah.
Then he was waived. Then he went to New Orleans, and he was on and off the practice squad.
This is a bit.
Then he signed a futures contract with the Bills, and he's an undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin Whitewater. Now,
I thought he was Ohio State. I'm thinking of a different Kumerow then.
Yeah, you're thinking of somebody else now.
I always do.
But he's a wide receiver.
The newest twist and turn in the story is that the Packers cutting that guy was the death knell to the relationship with Aaron Rodgers. You cut my guy Kumerow. He's a jobber.
No, no.
It's a dude that barely ever plays and just gets cut.
He's a security blanket.
He's a jobber.
He's his friend. He watched them get rid of all of his receivers, let them walk, just like the Cowboys let the secondary walk. The Packers let their wide receivers walk. And he probably said, that's the last straw.
Was he renting a house? Was he renting like Aaron Rodgers' house or something?
No, he's washing his car every week.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You're messing up my money.
Yeah. I don't know, but I was just like, wait, Jake Kumerow is now the reason you hate each other?
This is a bit.
It doesn't matter.
No, this is Aaron Rodgers playing mind games with the Packers.
He's just picking random things like you shouldn't have done that?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's the exact reaction that we're having right now is like that. That's what Aaron Rodgers does.
And another thing.
Now,
I will say this, though, real quick, guys. Those people up in Green Bay said there's nothing they can do to make him happy.
Well,
they know that. There's nothing that we can do to make this guy happy.
Rob Domofsky, who's covered the Packers for over 20 years.
Been there a long time.
He says there is a less than 5% chance. He's saying there's less than a 5% chance of which direction.
They trade him.
They won't trade. He's saying that there is a 5% chance that Rodgers will play for them again.
Wow.
Like, he thinks that Aaron Rodgers is getting traded.
95% he's gone.
And remember, it's impossible to hold out now. Like, if Aaron Rodgers just doesn't show up, you know what happens?
$50,000 a day,
your contract doesn't toll, and they're coming after $30 million of your signing bonus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, that doesn't work. But if he can make it uncomfortable enough, I guess it's possible.
All right, here comes my guy. Guess who rides into the scene here and saves the day?
Ooh. Denver.
No.
I don't know.
Russell Wilson?
Vegas.
Rides him. Oh, you know, Chucky. John will do whatever.
He loves quarterbacks.
John will overpay for this guy in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. John will do whatever. Give him an old, good quarterback. Oh, dude, yeah, he's on
That's what I'm
on
saying.
It.
I mean, he looks at like guys like Rich Gannon and people like that. And he's like, I can win AFC championships with this guy.
By the way, the last wire I saw said Aaron Rodgers was actually like the idea of a Vegas situation.
Yeah, he likes the idea of anything that's not Green Bay. And who knows why he's really mad at them? I have no idea.
I still think they don't trade him. But John will overpay. John will totally overpay to make this happen.
All right, now, Bill Barnwell writes about the 7 teams that could trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
In order of likelihood.
Okay.
Okay? Uh-huh. If you're Green Bay, Brian, and you have to deal with Aaron Rodgers on a daily basis, and you are sitting right where you're sitting right now, and he is saying everything he's saying, Tennessee calls, and they say, we'll give you Ryan Tannehill and our 2022 and 2023 first-round picks. We'll give you 2 ones and Tannehill.
Keep talking. Keep going.
Oh, well, the keep going was, and you give us back a fourth.
Oh.
But we want Aaron Rodgers in a
fourth.
I was just saying Tannehill.
I'm considering other offers is what I'm doing.
Okay. Next team that calls is Gruden.
Okay.
Gruden says, I give you Derek Carr.
Okay.
The 2022 first round pick.
All right.
2022 second round pick.
All right.
2023 first round pick. 2 ones, a two, and Derek Carr. You give me Rodgers and a future four.
Do you want me to turn in the papers or do you want to turn
in
the papers?
Okay, so you're in here.
I'm in.
2 ones and a two and Derek Carr.
Yeah, I'm in because I think Derek Carr is a better player than Tannehill.
Okay. All right, now.
But those picks are still going to be low first round picks.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Well, Aaron Rodgers will make a difference out
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. Now, yeah. That's my point.
Yeah, you're going all these picks are going to end up being late because he's going to make them great. Yeah, okay, now. You'd already made the trade, so you're screwed, but other teams are still calling. This is an order of likelihood, according to Bill Barnwell. He's going down. Now we're at number 5. Gruden was number 6. Number 5, Cleveland calls. They say, we'll give you a 2022 first-round pick, 2023 first-round pick, Baker Mayfield, David Njoku. We want Aaron Rodgers.
Already got an all-pro tight end there, don't we?
And your cornerback, Josh Jackson. Yeah, but is that tight end good, or did Aaron Rodgers make him good? We'd never heard of him before.
That's the thing.
He catches the ball.
All right, you're still taking Vegas? You're still taking the car deal?
Go one more time with me on that, please. One more time.
2 ones.
Got it.
Baker, David Njoku.
I'm out. I don't want Cleveland still.
You hate Baker?
I do.
I don't appreciate that.
You hate long snappers.
I do. Giants call.
Oh, I don't want the Giants guy. I don't want him. I'm sorry.
Danny Dimes is
They're not
impressive.
Offering their guy.
What are they offering?
He's worthless.
first round pick, 2022.
All right.
The Bears 2022 first round pick.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
2023 first round pick.
3-1 so far.
And Darius Slayton, wide receiver. Meh.
I'm out.
Okay. You're still sending him to Vegas so far.
Still going to Vegas.
You're going to Vegas.
Yep.
Number three, Miami calls.
Oop.
It's a three-way deal.
Oh, no.
You as the Packers are going to get 2022 first round pick, 2023 first round pick.
Okay.
The better of the Dolphins and 49ers picks. Oh, and the 2022 is the 49ers as well. It's not the Dolphins. So two ones, and the second one is whichever one's higher. A 2023 fifth round pick and a 2022 first round pick from the Steelers. So that's one, two ones in 22.
And no Tua?
A one in 23, a five in 23.
No Tua?
No, the Steelers get Tua.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins get Aaron Rodgers and a 2023 fourth round pick from the Packers. It's a three-team deal, but it nets you a bunch of picks.
That sounds pretty interesting.
You going to Vegas?
I'm trying to think.
If you think the 49ers are going to be bad, you get hooked up in this trade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. The thing I'm worried about, do I have a quarterback, though? That's what I'm thinking about in Green Bay. I'm trying to find who my better quarterback is.
You're still going Vegas. By the way, I would take Tannehill over Carr. Now, Washington calls.
We both can't evaluate quarterbacks. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. Washington calls. He says this is the second most likely. Next year's one, next year's two, 2023 one, 2023 two. So 1-2, 1-2. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Ioannidis. So the players don't matter.
No.
Two ones, okay?
No.
And he says the most realistic Broncos call.
Here it is.
Patrick Surtain.
Whoa.
Wide receiver Tim Patrick, whatever.
Okay.
Drew Locke. And their next two first round picks. So he's going to Vegas.
I'm going to Vegas.
Brian has sent Aaron Rodgers to Vegas. You heard it here first. That's what's going down.
I did it because, like you said, you would do the Tennessee deal because you think the better quarterback is Tannehill, right? I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect myself if something.
The Cleveland deal.
Well, you like Baker. That's the.
I kind of like Baker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm allowed to like Baker because he just had a good year. Yeah, but when he doesn't play well, people will really give me the business.
Of course.
So that's what I'm going with.
I love this little game. And the only fear I have is the first-round picks being late-round picks depending on where Rodgers goes.
Yeah, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, look at the rest of the team.
Take the Miami deal because that's 49er picks they're giving you.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, it's time for the Texas Rangers Player Show, and it's the great Nick Solak, my guy. He joins us next in the Nation. Welcome back. It is time, as we do every week, for the Texas Rangers Player Show. Catch on-the-field tours and 21 single-game tickets now. TexasRangers.com. Check them out. And we are joined by our favorite member of the Texas Rangers. He may not know it, and he better not tell Jose Trevino we said it, but it's the great Nick Solak. Good afternoon, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hey guys, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hey, congrats on the season that you've had thus far. And I'm on pace guy, so every time that I'm looking at people's stats, I just kind of look at what they're on pace for. And for you, that would be 35 to 40 home runs this year. Do you set individual numbers, goals for yourself going into a year?
You know, not really. Unlike you, I'm not a big on pace guy.
Well, if you don't get to 40, Nick, it was a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really, set those individual, number goals. I mean, there's definitely goals that I set related to, what I want to get better at. But that's kind of where I keep my focus and then, just go out and play.
What were those goals coming into this year, and how do you feel like you're doing on that track?
I feel like I'm doing well. The first one was, to keep continuing to get better at second base defensively. Going into spring training, I wanted to win that job and keep getting better. And that's something that, I've worked a ton to improve on and that I continue to improve on. And then offensively, just kind of try to be the player that I've been. Last year wasn't the best year, especially, power-wise, but put some good swings on balls and just to kind of keep getting better offensively and putting good swings on the ball.
Hey, Nick, every time that we were talking to somebody in the front office, JD, and all, and we were asking questions about you, it was always, well, he's going to play here and he's going to play here. And, you know, it showed versatility. But are you, did you kind of breathe a sigh of relief when you said, hey, I'm going to line up at second base. I'm going to focus on that job. Has that helped you just in your overall game and maybe your overall approach as you come to the ballpark every day?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. You know, I think, the first goal is always to be in the lineup, right? It's anywhere, any position, you know, I was happy to be in the lineup because then I could help, you know, contribute to the team winning. But, you know, this year coming in and, you know, to know that I'm really focused on getting better at second base and doing the work that I need to do, you know, to take care of business there every single day. You know, I think helps. It gives me a singular focus on what I'm doing every single day.
Hey, Nick, I'm kind of keeping up with you a little bit because you're from Naperville, and one of my closest friends of all time is from Naperville back in the day. So I've been keeping up with you a little bit, and I want to know how you felt about winning that cowboy hat. And tell everybody who's listening the new tradition with the Texas Rangers of who gets to win the cowboy hat last week.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the player of the game after a win, you know, gets to, you know, wear that Texas flag themed cowboy hat and gets to make a little speech to the team. That was, you know, I won it last week, and, you know, honestly, I think that's like probably the only time I've ever had a cowboy hat on.
That's,
you know,
where I was going with this. You're from Naperville, absolutely, which is out by Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. Just growing up in the, you know, Chicago suburbs. You know, never. I don't think I ever wore a cowboy hat until winning the hat last week, and, you know, it's fun to be able to put on that hat, you know, and, you know, just, you know, because we won the game.
Are you who is the current holder of the hat?
I think, you know, Brock's got the hat.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, that's a man that he needs that hat. I feel like it fits the mustache. Now, do you have proper reverence for the cowboy hat, being
yes,
that it sounds like you don't, you know,
you're not familiar with it.
You're not down with that style?
I mean, I know for our cowboy hat, you know, it's got that Texas flag on it, and you get it if you had a good game and we won. So, mm-hmm, you know, I definitely have proper reverence for, you know, the one that we got in our clubhouse.
Right. Good answer.
Now, you've been hit by a pitch 7 times this year, according to my count. Can you tell us where it doesn't bother you and where it really does bother you?
The ones that, you know, get a good part of the elbow guard, because I wear the elbow guard and I wear the shin guard, so the HBPs that catch a good part of the elbow guard, those are usually pretty good. You know, they don't hurt too bad, and I got the protection there. I had one early in the year, like the first series, right in the ribs. That one was not great. That one was pretty sore. But
are you crowding the plate, or are they just picking on you?
Yeah, are you diving?
Are you pluckable? What is this?
You know, I like the fastball out over the plate, right? Like the middle and away. So a lot of pitchers, you know, want to try and come in.
Okay.
And they just seem to miss in a little bit extra.
Now, you're willing if it gets you on base, because, I mean, nobody's been hit more than 3 times but you, and 7's a big number. So I feel like maybe that's a bravery stat where you're really willing to do that for the team.
I don't know. It's just maybe a little slow to get out of the way sometimes. You know, some of them, you know, are close. Some of them, there's just no getting out of the way, you know. So I think it just comes with, you know, those guys trying to come in and missing in, and it just kind of part of the game, and it is what it is.
Hey, Nick, I'm going to continue the part of the game questions. Okay, we're turning double plays now. Like those middle infielders, do they drop down on those guys to make sure that they get down and slide? I mean, is that something you think about when you're thinking about throwing that ball across and stuff? Do you want to make sure those runners get down? Do you ever warn them that way with some throws?
Not really. I mean, I think the way the game has changed, especially with the rules of sliding into bases, a lot of those kind of plays have kind of, have kind of gotten rid of them. You know, back in the day, you know, guys could slide all over the place trying to take out a middle infielder. Now you have to slide, you know, straight into the bag. You really can't go past the bag too far. So the rules really protect the middle infielders. So it's not as big of a deal in today's game compared to, you know, watching the game back in the day and watching middle infielders and base runners getting into it quite often.
It's Rangers second baseman Nick Solak with us on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It's really interesting this year because with Elvis Andrus gone, with Rougned Odor gone, for a lot of Ranger fans, they're getting to know a whole lot of new guys. And I think for them, one of the things I'm curious about is when you guys walk into the clubhouse, who's leading that team? Who are the players on the roster that are the leaders of this Rangers team?
I mean, I think it's just it's a really good group of guys that, you know, kind of all lead and kind of, you know, take care of their own business and take care of each other. I think it's a unique group in that way that, you know, you have a ton of guys that are similar age, similar time, service time in this game where, you know, we're showing up every single day and it's a group that wants to get better, right? It's a group that has something to prove in this league, you know, that doesn't have a ton of experience, but that is going to work really hard and is going to, you know, keep pushing and get better. I think, you know, you bring in some older veteran guys like Brock Holt and Charlie Culberson and guys that have, you know, won World Series, played in playoff games, have a ton of, you know, experience and knowledge of the game. I think that they help, you know, a ton sharing information with the group. So I think it's just, you know, really everybody working together and pulling the rope in the same direction. And it's a really fun clubhouse to show up to every single day.
Nick, you know, things are going well for you at the plate. Has your approach changed throughout the season from the start to where we are now? Or is it just that things you just always go in there with the same idea of things that you're looking for or scouting reports you have in your mind about particular pitchers? What's your approach as far as the way you're hitting right now?
Yeah, I think we as a group do a ton of preparation, you know, like you mentioned, scouting reports, and we do our homework every single day, and pitchers are different, and then teams are different as well, you know, the guys that you're facing. So there's a lot of work that goes into planning an approach for a particular pitcher, a particular bullpen, a particular team that you're going to face. I think, I've had success in having a good plan and sticking to it. But with that said, as you have success, other teams start to change a little bit. So, you know, your approach sometimes has to change. I think, you know, recently I've been seeing a lot more breaking balls and off speed pitches, and that's something that, you know, I'm going to monitor and keep in mind. But, you know, my approach is really always to attack the fastball, get a good pitch out over the plate and attack that fastball and kind of react to anything else. So I think that, you know, with that preparation and the scouting reports and doing our homework, I think, you know, it's helped me and a lot of guys, you know, have some success.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, Nick, okay, when you're at the plate there, you know, the movie Bull Durham, like Crash Davis was talking to himself at every at bat.
Okay, Brian.
Do you talk to yourself? You talk to yourself up there when you at bat?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think maybe not all the time, right? Out loud. I mean, you're always talking to yourself in your head.
Yeah.
But, I mean, baseball players can be a little different and quirky sometimes too.
Sure.
I mean, so there's definitely times that, you know, you'd say something, you know, soft under your breath and, you know, to remind yourself of a certain thing or a certain pitch that you want to try and get. And it's just kind of just like the movie. I mean, it is how it is.
Hey, when you're not talking to yourself, who are you talking to on the team? Who's your ride or die buddy? Who's the guy you hang out with most?
There's a ton of guys. You know, Trevino, I love hanging out with Trevino. We live together in spring training, and our lockers are next to each other.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, you know, he's a great guy, and you know, it is a really good group. You know, Willie's always smiling, and Willie's fun to talk to. Joey's so funny. Joey's fun to talk to. I played with Nate Lowe when we were with the Tampa Bay Rays minor league team. So, Nate's a great guy. I mean, those are some of the guys that just stick out. But I mean, it's a really fun group to kind of chat up with everybody.
Oh, good.
It's Nick Solak with us. All right, it's rapid fire time. Teammate who has the most fun.
The most fun. This isn't very rapid fire.
No, it's not. You're doing a terrible job.
I'm sorry.
But you're the guest.
But
so
you are the guest.
It's a poor reflection on us, not
yeah,
you.
Yes.
Izzy, Isaiah has a ton of fun out there.
Yeah.
In-N-Out or Whataburger?
Whataburger.
Oh, water, you got that one right.
Water or Gatorade?
Gatorade.
What color?
Red.
Chicken like or that. Shrimp?
Chicken.
Favorite Disney movie?
Lion King, Tarzan.
Well done. Well,
well,
well, you
King, well played.
You answered with question marks, but that counts.
Lion King works.
Rangers second baseman Nick Solak. We appreciate the time, man.
Man, that was
get
fun,
him.
Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
All right, there he goes, Nick Solak.
I like that guy.
Lion King was the right answer.
So yeah, absolutely,
really,
the right
I was really
answer.
Proud of him there yeah. because there is no other Disney movie that yeah. is no, in consideration yeah, other than Lion others. King. It's there's really the only one. But good answer on the Whataburger. He knows mm-hmm. what's good for him, where he's
he
living
knows what,
now.
He knows what state he's playing in right now, too.
Yeah, he yeah. knows famous. By the way.
Didn't a Chicago situation or Illinois-based company buy Whataburger?
They did. Chicago, hey, he's absolutely right.
We don't talk
right.
about
yeah.
that.
Where's he from again?
We don't talk
he's
about that.
He's from Chicago. He's from Naperville.
Okay. Naperville, yeah.
Yeah, it's, a it's probably his family.
You think he's an apart
same
owner?
Same place that Sean Payton is from, I believe. Naperville in the okay. Illinois, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
if anybody
so
out there...
So is Jack Napier, by the way. Okay. Shout out to Jack Napier.
If there is anybody out there who like runs marketing for a fast food people, I do not have a current endorsement. I just want to tell you, because I had a fast food burger the other day that doesn't get enough love. Okay? Like, yes, Whataburger's great.
Right.
I don't know that it's clearly superior
than
to Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic is up there. Too.
Sonic
that's,
makes
that's
a fine
also
burger.
A good Texas kind of
make
burger.
Make a fine burger.
It's yeah, because like you don't eat anything on your burger.
Correct.
And that's why Sonic makes that type of burger.
Yeah, meat, cheese, pickles.
They make it for little kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Little kids. Yeah, little kids eat those yeah. Sonic burgers.
We prefer the term super taster. My taste buds are more evolved than yours.
Oh,
so
are
I
they?
Can detect all the
are
bad
they?
Stuff, like oh. mayo and mustard yeah. and lettuce yeah. and crap like that. Tomatoes.
I'll have a number one, please, with just no lettuce.
Number
how about
two.
Cheese?
I like to go double.
Yeah, cheese
yeah,
and
I like to go
cheese and mayonnaise, please.
This segment, by the way, was brought to you by Mark Rubin with Rubin and Associates. If you're facing foreclosure, repossession, IRS credit card, or medical debt, you don't have to face that alone. You just call up my guy, Mark Rubin. He can take the weight off your shoulders, manage your debt, protect your property, get you living life again. Call Mark right now at 1-800-LAWYERS. That's Mark Rubin, Rubin and Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. Also brought to you by my friends at My Computer Career. All right, coming up next, Mike Fisher was kind enough. Well, honestly, it's like The Rock used to say. He knows his role. You know, when Nick Solak is going to stop by, yeah. Mike Fisher has to just move it around a little bit. So he's going to join us next here on 105.3 The Fan. And before we get to that, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to visit with our double insider, the great Mike Fisher, as we do every day at, well, kind of this time, except at 3:20, and now it's 3:40. So, hey, Fish, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, fella. If you get out of this draft, two immediate starters, Cowboys, and six or seven eventual starters. Is that a good draft?
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too. I think now what you have to factor into it is maybe your roster is so bad that it's easier to start on it. But I don't think the Cowboys, I don't think most Cowboys have a bad roster, right?
No.
There's
a lot of
opportunity
on defense.
We have an echo.
It's yeah, we do have an opportunity. What a nice way of saying it, Jeffrey. There's a lot of opportunity. what a pleasant and polite way of saying it. So NFL Draft Bible, which is a Sports Illustrated deal, they go through all these picks and they grade guys as this is a starter, this is a future All-Pro, this is an average starter, all that. And they come up with a big list. NFC East, I think the Cowboys were the top team with eventual starters. Can you get seven eventual starters out of this draft? Is that realistic?
Holy.
If you had the Eagles draft, you could.
Let's go through the Cowboys. Okay, Micah, we're good there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Kelvin Joseph.
Yes.
They want him to start now. Right?
Yes.
Okay. O.D.
Yes.
Yes, eventual starter?
I think so. It's impossible to talk back to you, though, because I'm hearing myself back in my ears. I hope on the radio they're not hearing me twice.
They are.
I can hear you fine, but I promise you I'm doing nothing wrong.
I agree with you. I know.
You never would.
Right. Okay. I think it's quite a projection to say that Osa is a starter.
He could be.
I don't think he's a starter on day one, but I do think that Osa in his NFL career will be a starter.
Okay. Chauncey.
Maybe.
Rotational?
Rotational today. But I don't know. He could develop into a starter, but he's rotational. Yes.
Okay. He's going to have to beat out a crowd of guys to be the fourth defensive end. Yes, we get so excited about all these picks, but then I'm going, so is he better than Bradley and I?
He probably is.
He's not better than Basham. He's not better than Gregory, is he?
I think that there is a possibility that he is better than everybody not named Tanker Randy.
Yeah. Okay. Think Dorrance Armstrong.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who this organization has an affection for whatever reason. Nashawn Wright.
No.
Based on what you guys have said about him, I think it's conceivable that he's just not a professional football player. Am I being harsh?
No, but I also think he's somebody's pet cat and he's going to be around.
Jeffrey, I can see and hear you, but I don't have the other guys.
So, is it possible?
No, I lost Jeffrey.
Oh, no. Oh, what a train wreck we have here.
And yeah, blame the pimp cut. Remember, we had all those engineers in there, and they were trying to do stuff. And they were like treating it like a NASCAR pit stop area.
Can you hear me now, Fish? Okay, we're going to call you. We're going to call you. We're going to kick it old school. We're just going to call up the fish man, you know? I got to tell you, there is nothing more annoying in radio. You guys want to hear the pullback to Corden? Now, I don't think this is going to be true for CA because you have like the smoothest tones I've ever heard in my life. But for anybody else doing radio, when you have to hear yourself,
that is hard.
It's hard. Torture.
It is torture.
I do not want to hear me
talk. This morning on the draft show.
I don't want to hear me talk ever again. Yeah. So
they call it mix minus.
Engineering is quite a trick. So Lucius will get Fish on the phone, and we'll work our way through that. But yeah, I think Kelvin Joseph is probably a starter day one.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons is the interesting one. Like, they'll say they're a 3-4 team, sure, and you'll call Parsons a starter.
Watch him start depending upon the offense. Watch them line him up in different spots depending upon how the other team's offense starts out.
Do you call that a starter? What should happen with the top 12 pick is you look at your two linebackers that were on the field, and you say, I don't care about you. Like, I'm a new defensive coordinator. I don't have anything invested in you guys. We're playing the best guys. All right, here he is. Here's Fish. What's up, Fish?
Okay, let me go back to Nashawn Wright. Player or not a player, Jeffrey?
We'll see. I mean, I like him better than the people who think he can't play and not as much as the Cowboys do.
Okay, Brian brought us 6'4" cornerbacks.
Yeah.
It seems like a great idea on paper, but then like it never works unless you're Richard Sherman.
Well, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They'll tell you that when Dan Quinn lines up his guys, he wants to eliminate windows from the quarterbacks to have opportunities to throw the ball. That's why they like the long, tall guys, is because when you play in trail technique, you're not giving the quarterback any window to throw the ball in. So that's why they went for this guy.
And I think he's the pet cat for the defensive coordinator. I think he's going to keep trying until it works.
Okay. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but Jeffrey, who was the cornerback here from a couple years ago? He was like 6'7".
Chris Westry. He was 6'4".
Yeah.
This looked really cool when he was walking out onto the practice field, but then he couldn't play cornerback. He was, I thought, too big to play cornerback.
Well, generally speaking, what happens at corner, and Brian talked about this a little bit earlier, because your dream is that you could have a 6'4 guy, but he moves like he's 5'8". That's the dream.
Yeah.
And the problem that he's going to have to overcome is exactly what you're talking about. They'll talk about the positive of it, which is size and length and where can you fit the ball. But this guy has the lowest short shuttle time. I'm sorry, the highest, the worst short shuttle time out of anybody since Pro Football Focus has been tracking it.
Right.
So 12 or 15 years of doing this, he runs the slowest shuttle in NFL history at the position.
Yep.
So you have the size, you have the length. Quickness is the problem.
Okay. And if you talk to Dan Quinn about his model cornerback, it's Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman obviously wasn't a sprinter, but I bet you, because Quinn will talk about his ability to plant and go, I bet you Richard Sherman's shuttle time was just fine for a 6'4" guy.
I don't know if it was or not. He's a giant outlier in the history of the NFL. Yeah. He's just that's what he
rare
is.
Rare player. Yep.
Has he signed with New Orleans yet?
Nope.
Jabril Cox, Jeffrey, you're all over Jabril Cox.
Jabril Cox will be a starter. I don't know if it'll be 12 months from today, but I hope it is that 12 months from today you're getting ready for OTAs or camp or whatever, and your linebackers are Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox.
Okay, Josh Ball, Brian brought us. You have this on him that he's an athlete, right?
Yeah, very good athlete. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, he started his career at Florida State, as we all know. So that's big-time football. He goes to Marshall. They play some big-time football there as well. So, yeah, the guy's an outstanding athlete.
Okay, so football only, leaving out the other stuff. 6'8", 310 pounds, freshman starter at Florida State, and he's athletic. That's promising. I'll buy that one. Simi, the wide receiver from Stanford, another 6'4" guy. I had somebody in the building right after Cowboys picked him say he wins all his matchups.
He does.
You see that on film?
He does. He absolutely does. And he's going to be your better Noah Brown, a cheaper Noah Brown.
I was going to say bye-bye Noah Brown.
Special teams demon.
Yeah.
Fehoko.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Quentin Bohanna, and everybody's like, oh, I just love Quentin Bohanna. He was unrecruited out of high school. I think he's working on whether he wants to weigh 330 or 360. And everybody loves the big fat guy. The encouraging thing is that the Cowboys seem to be changing their philosophy a little bit because for years here, they haven't much loved the big fat guy. Can he play?
If they play 3-4 to start the game with, he will be your nose tackle, likely. Him and Antoine Woods will be battling for that spot.
And he's got long arms, Fish. Don't ever forget the long arms leverage.
Okay. And then Israel, cornerback, who they're going to move to safety.
Safety.
Okay. Another long one who... when him and J.C. Horn played together, and you know, they felt like they had two studs there.
They did.
And then finally, the offensive lineman, Matt Farniok.
And Nebraska man.
Say it again?
Just Nebraska man. That's his name to me, Nebraska man.
Yeah, big corn-eating guy who is a utility guy. You know, maybe he, you know, if he becomes Joe Looney, the way Joe Looney was early in his career, I guess that's something. So, if you look at it from that perspective, can he make this roster? Can he contribute to a good team? And can he someday start? Then this group, based on what you guys are saying in part, this group doesn't look as bad as I think some critics initially viewed it as.
Yeah, we were having all those technical problems, and it was the thing with the Odighizuwa. I think you asked if he could be a starter. I think he can. I think the competition at under tackle or three technique is going to be between him, Tristan Hill, and Neville Gallimore. Mm-hmm. And those guys have an advantage because they've been in the system now for a little bit of time. But I wouldn't think that Odighizuwa has any handicap with that at all. I think he's right there with those guys, could be even better.
All right, and I'll close with this. Bob McGinn, who I know you know from Green Bay, right, Brian?
Terrible writer.
But long-time beat writer.
Long-time.
Did you really not like him?
I don't. I really don't like him.
You guys rubbed each other the wrong way?
He writes about players' Wonderlic scores in a way that they're stupid kids. And that's a terrible way to write.
Okay. I knew that when I brought up his name, you would have some reaction. Longtime Green Bay guy. One thing he does do, he talks to scouts and gets anonymous scouts, gets their on the record, but anonymous, opinion of players. And it's a really mixed bag, but interesting on Kelvin Joseph. And one of the themes with most of the four scouts that he talked to was, if he'll put football first, if he'll concentrate on football. And I wonder if the 55-year-old crusty scout or the 60-year-old crusty sports writer, that we might need to start wrapping our heads around the idea that it's okay to be a rapper and a football player.
Yeah.
Mike, Yeah.
The problem we have with all this is these scouts talking to these kids. When you could go to the combine, when you can visit with them at all-star games, when you can go to pro days, when you could do all that and really dig in on these kids –
right.
You will be able to learn more about him, and you'll learn that the kid does like to play football.
Yep.
You know, you'll learn these things, and this pandemic has done that. It's made us all talk on Zoom, you know. It's made us try and learn things that we learned face-to-face with people, you know. Yeah. You watch the kid play, he plays his ass off. He plays hard, you know, and he's got a career. He's got something else in his life. I applaud him for doing
that. Does he rap about football?
I don't think he does.
No.
Does
he? Is football first?
I think it's sometimes he does. It's not bad.
They played some of his
games. I don't care if it's good or not. I'm drafting to play football.
No, they played
some of it. I don't care if it's good. If you're a bad rapper,
the Morning Guys played some of it this morning. I think, Lucius, you have to kind of doctor it a little bit. But, yeah.
He knows Uncle Luke down there.
Yeah, he needs to be rapping about some football, then I'll be excited.
His name is Boss Man Fat.
That's it.
See, Jeffrey, and by the way, my name is Boss Man Fish, and I had it way before he did it. I'm twice as fat as he is, so I don't know what he's talking about. Jeffrey, it's like this. How much of that video game, TV, Fortnite do you play?
A little bit. Depends on the week. Lately, not much, but sometimes a decent amount.
Okay, it seems like it's kind of important in your life, and I must tell you, I don't get it. But I'm not supposed to get it. It's not for me. But if I was getting ready to hire you, I would be making a mistake to say, well, that kid's into that stupid Fortnite and Call of Duty.
Exactly.
I need to learn what it is that makes 21-year-olds tick.
Exactly, and
I think some of the 55- and 60-year-old scouts are maybe behind the times on that one.
Way behind.
Good call. Yeah. All right,
good
Fish,
call.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Mike Fisher. Coming up next, it is a little bit of an extension of what we just talked about, but Brian has come up with a little game as we talk about this Cowboys draft class. How many of them will make the team, and who's in trouble? It's next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.